We are live. Okay, with my guest, Jennifer Jensen. She has a funny, you have to share your story. We talked for like a minute or two before we met. I don't have any practice of who Jen is, Jennifer Jensen, what she does. I did copy and paste from her cool website, which I have to tell you, go to her website. And so you have the link in the chat. But Jennifer, it's great to have you. You are bold. You are absolutely beautiful. And you're brave. Who goes on a live without, like, really? No, you're going to be safe. I've had over 300 episodes aired and no issues. Well, we're not going to talk about that one. So, Jennifer, where do you live? And tell us the name about your name, because that story just is so lovely.
So I live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And so when I was born, my parents didn't think about what Jennifer Jensen could be broken down to. And so as they were leaving the hospital with me close to 50 years ago, the nurse said, "See you later, JJ." And so after that, I've been nicknamed JJ or Jen, because Jennifer Jensen.
I love it. So your parents, what, they were surprised? Like, oh, we never thought of that?
No, they had never thought of that. And they were like, didn't even think about it. And they didn't expect people or myself to shorten my name to Jen. And so Jen Jensen, it just works as Jen.
That is so, yeah. I mean, they wouldn't have like gone to ChatGPT and said, which I wonder if new parents are doing that. What's a good name? Oh, let's name the baby Storm. But like, Jen, like, that's so funny. Or maybe they didn't like see it written down to really look at it. Like,
no. Well, and that was before internet, believe it or not.
So you have an authentic name as an authentic leader.
Yes.
Which is great. It's perfect name. It's like a stage name. It's your, like, I just love it. So tell us what you do, because I have no idea. Authentic Leader. And I think it was, the website is authenticleader.ca. So what does that mean?
So I started my journey as an authentic leader in the corporate world for close to 30 years now. And through my own experiences and interactions with different leaders, I developed a passion for helping individuals define their authentic selves and be that bridge that we're missing right now with knowing who we are as leaders and how to maintain who we are in leadership as well. And so I do a lot of individual one-on-one leadership advisory coaching services, as well as group advisory and leadership programs.
So what would it be if you were not authentic and you were not authentic? Like, what does that look like?
Your team is not productive. It's not functioning. You're not collaborative and you are stressed to the limit and you don't even know who you are as an individual.
Ooh, keep going. Is there more to that?
So with Authentic Leader, you're going to become a lot more self-aware and help to collaborate with your team and be effective. And so to support that, I also wrote a book called Developing Authentic Leaders.
So, but it's kind of a buzzword, right? Authentic, transparent, like those words. So can we dig a little deeper and going into like, what, do you have any case stories about like what an not authentic, unauthentic, is that a word?
Yeah, we can use that.
Unauthentic leader. Like, I'm just curious, how can we match this up? So if you're listening right now, you're like, okay, it's one of those things, like a buzzword, I'm authentic leader. No, I'm actually someone else. I play someone else as a leader. Like, I don't really, I'm still not getting it. I get when you get it in your head to be authentic, what that, all the benefits of that, but what does it look like? How would I know if I have an unauthentic leader?
So you're going to have a toxic environment, toxic culture. You're going to have micromanagement because you need to be in control of everything. You don't trust your team. You're not effective. You've got high turnover. You are not really engaged, and you have more of a authoritative dictator type leadership style instead of being able to adapt and grow with your team.
Interesting. Okay. So then the next, okay. So, and you have a background in the corporate world.
Yeah.
So, which I think is important because there's a lot of people, you like saying, you know, oh, I teach leadership, or, but then I'm like, you're 22. Where is your experience? You can have the education, but where's the experience? So tell us about your experience.
So I've had a lot of experience, like across many different companies. So even like universities, utility companies, the oil and gas sector, it's been a vast career, which has been fun. And at the same time, I've had to deal with a lot of struggles and scars, but I think those scars are what make me who I am today. And I've had to deal with micromanagement and the PTSD that you get from that, and supporting, and now I can effectively support teams. And I'm hearing more and more about micromanagement and the effect it has on individuals. So at least I've experienced it to understand what needs to happen and how to protect yourself.
I can understand that. I remember the day that my client wrote to me and said, Adrian, I love your writing. And I was like, really? Are you sure? My writing has been criticized. Of course, it was a family member, authentic leader, but you know, I get that PTSD because that was the first thing that happened to me. I'm like, no, it can't. You must have read something else, because I have been told my whole entire life my writing is horrible. So it's things that are also either you're picking up or that's being told to you, and it's hard to shake it off.
Totally. And it's the imposter syndrome that you're fighting constantly. And it may appear like I may have everything together, but do I actually have it all together? In my mind, no. And I feel like I'm fake and I'm presenting something, but yet I do have the expertise and knowledge to do it.
Yeah, that's really, I find that really interesting. You're so right. Now, when I was in Tucson, I had an authentic leader. I felt nice guy. But where does nice get you? Came in late. Came in early, but none of us saw when he was in early, and we're not there. So he wasn't helping us because he was never there. And then he would leave early. But in the end of the day, that was when most questions were occurring and things that you needed answers. But when the bigger people came in, it was a nonprofit. When his bosses came in, guess who was there early and staying late? And that was so not authentic. Now that I think about it, it was like, you're faking who you are. And also like a fake, like, okay, everyone, I'm leaving. Do you need anything? But it's like, you're leaving. So nobody wants to stop you from leading, especially when you say, I've been here since 6 a.m. I'm leaving now. So you're thinking like, well, that now is not a good time. And yeah, that really, as nice as he was, that really hurt. Like, to me, something that was like, not, he wasn't, he was not being a good leader.
No, he didn't have the integrity and he didn't have the skill set to understand what the team needed.
Let's look at your website together. I'm getting into this all of a sudden. I've never done this before, but I do like it. So if you're going to be watching, you could watch this on YouTube. We'll have it up on YouTube, or the live absolutely will show this. So I'm going to share my screen, and I've got the Authentic Leader. How long have you had this website, authenticleader.ca?
Oh, for a year and a half now.
Nobody else had it?
No.
Wow, that's crazy. Let me go to your home. Okay, I love so I'm assuming you have mountains where you live.
Yes, because we're just an hour from Banff. I'm sure many have heard of that place. And so we have the Rocky Mountains as our backdrop.
Beautiful. I think this is a really lovely photo. It looks authentic. I absolutely love the photo. I love that. All right, right here on the homepage, I love that you have the contact information. That's awesome. That's a huge deal. A lot of people don't have that. And then you have your information here. I love it. Sorry, I'm really going through. I've got like a crazy one. And then I love this. Okay, so common sense approach. So what is it like to work with you?
Oh, we like to have a lot of fun, but I also like to tell the truth and be the bear, you know, provide the truth that everyone is afraid to say and say it. I try and do it diplomatically, but sometimes you just have to come out and say it.
You can't be a yes person. Isn't that sometimes a problem with inauthentic leaders, is everyone is telling them yes, 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 yes. And at the end, when they finally get the real review or losing clients, it's like, well, I was going to tell you that, but it's easier. No. How do you ask for feedback? And how do you let your team know that you're open to suggestions and how to improve your performance without feeling vulnerable?
I think you need to prepare yourself and just be okay with the feedback that you're going to get. And you have to also look at who you're talking to and take it at face value in certain cases. Because at one point I had a CIO that I was talking with and they wanted to renew my contract. And I said, I can't. And they're like, well, Jen, why can't you? And I'm like, because I can't work with someone who constantly changes the foundation, who doesn't have vision or mission or values. And I can't work in that environment because I never know which way I'm going.
Whoa. And then when they took that dagger out of their heart, what happened?
Well, he went and talked to my boss at the time and said, well, Jen told me she can't work with me. And my boss looked at him and said, well, was she rude about it? And he's like, no. Was she unprofessional about it? No. And he's like, well, then what's the problem? I've never had anybody tell me that to my face. Do you think she'll come back?
I love that. Because that's where they're willing to be coached.
Yes.
Because I could see that is going to always be a problem for coaches is having the answers and can help. And yet the person who's probably inauthentic is like, yeah, no. And I remember I was like that at one point in my life too. Right. There's a certain, I don't mean to say like age group, but there's a certain time in your life in your 30s, you're pretty much thinking, you know, it all.
Yeah.
Almost like a teenager, you kind of revert back. Like, I know it all. By the time I'm 63 or 62, I don't know why I keep saying I'm not 63 till another month, but I don't feel it. And my bangs obviously look so good that I don't look, you know, my bangs are like that of a 25-year-old. So I'm pretty happy with that. But at the end of the day, it takes a lot to be able to accept the feedback.
It does. But if you can explain it, and I wasn't mean about it or rude, but I very much shared the areas that I couldn't work with and why I couldn't work with them. And I think if you can be honest and provide that, and sometimes that individual is not going to be open to it, but that's not yours to own. That's their response.
I love that. So you're like, I thought I had, you're sorry about that. I said, turn it to silent. Okay. I thought, now that call, that scam call just interrupted me. So one of the things though, is when you are being authentic and so you have one goal, right? Your goal is to make this person successful to become authentic leader. So it would make sense if they don't have that same goal to have the personal development. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't waste your time. Your time is too precious.
And sometimes then you have to fire the client because they have to be willing to make the changes.
25 years is good. That's great. The ageism is real. So sometimes when I'm working with someone that's like 35, 40 years in the industry, we'll do 35 plus. That includes me too. Also, my mom always taught me that what people say about other people is a reflection off themselves. Do you find that too? I know that that happens a lot in personal lives. Do you find that in business?
Yes, very much so.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hold on. Husband, he is an inauthentic husband. He knows I'm doing this, but he's got a TBI, so we'll give him a break because he's definitely a traumatic brain injury. But geez, okay, so I love that because again, I'm very conscious lately of coaches. Alan, you got to stop it. Hold on, let me just tell him. If you are listening to this podcast, just know it's real, it's raw, no prep needed. And I did try to tie up my husband and put a towel in his mouth. It didn't really work. If I put food in his mouth, that works a lot. But okay, so thank you for understanding. So I love this that you have the 35 years. We're going through this. Okay, and I love this too. This looks like your mission statement, but you're calling it our philosophy. This is nice looking. I provide practical advice and a toolkit that supports leadership development. Beautiful. Oh, these are your certifications. How many hours is it for this qualification?
It varies. I think the Spark one is the longest one, if I remember correctly, and that's about 2 weeks.
Wow. Or
so, but it was very intensive. You had homework, you had to do your in class, but it's very helpful, especially if you want to become a lot more self-aware, because it takes your colors, much like DISC, and your 8 characteristics, and then it breaks that down into 24 qualities. And then it looks at all those qualities in what you're like at home and when you're most comfortable, and what you're like at work in your everyday, what you present to the world, and then what you're like when you're overstressed. And then we work through a whole process of how you regain composure when you're stressed and understanding. Yes.
So you didn't just watch a YouTube video and say, I could talk about leadership.
No.
And I'm not kidding around, guys. This is what's happening. You have to learn. If you want to have leadership training, you have to learn this. If you're going to read the news or whatever it may be, you have to vet, right? Vetting is more important now than I think it's ever been. Even though some people would say it was much harder years ago when you had to vet someone, you didn't have the information available, but I think it's harder now. So love that. Love your about. Okay, I want to get to the juice. And I see you have books. I can't wait. Okay, hold on. Services.
So I'm in the process of updating this and breaking it out more, but it's the one-on-one leadership, the group advisory services, and also the leadership programs for corporations, small, medium, or large.
I love this. Look at you guys. Go under services so you can see all the services. All right, let's look at the books.
Nice. Well, we only have one so far.
That's okay. You're going to have more. Developing Authentic Leaders, a Practical Guide for All Leaders. Love this. Identify your leadership style. Offer concise. This is so needed. You know what? You know why I really believe in all of this, Jennifer, is that we need this for our youth. Right. Yes. Like they're coming out of school, they're going to college, they're not getting leadership. Maybe some are getting some leadership classes, but then they're going to work for someone, and they should also be able to identify an authentic leader compared to someone that they may say to themselves, do I want to spend another 10 years with this leader who is not going to, that doesn't really care about my success? Do you teach or talk about during the authentic leadership program servant leadership?
Oh yeah, that's a huge part of it. And if you read my book, I did it in a very different format than any other leadership book out there. It's all in point form, and there's 52 topics so that you can do it one a week if you need to, just to help you along. And each topic is 2 to 3 pages maximum. And you can do it as an individual. You can do it as an accountability partner. It's almost like a coach in a book.
Oh, wait, your pages. So just FYI, the available now, these links are broken.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know.
This is good. Barnes & Noble. But it looks like the, I know, right? I catch everyone else's mistake. But if you could do the same for me, it would be amazing. Yeah. Let's see if I click Amazon US. So just a quick link, it may have changed. And then, Jennifer Jensen writes, loving that. And then this, I love this. What did you call it regarding the point?
It's all in point form.
What does that mean?
I didn't do like paragraphs.
Like bullets?
Yeah, it's all bullets.
Oh my God, that is, I want to see a sample. Oh, I love that. This is nice looking. And so you have your website, and then you have this is nice.
It's all in point form here.
I love that. And then I want to go back. I want to look at.
And each each topic is set out the same way, where it's key insights, guidance, and reflection. And then upcoming podcasts.
I love this. Who's this? Why do you do that? Brilliant. This is so brilliant. Do you have a, do you have your own podcast or you're on you?
Not yet. That's coming.
Ooh, if you need help, let me know. And also I can give you some great tips. I have, I booked over 1,000 hosts on different shows, and also have created and produced a podcast, and still producing for Seth Green, Market Domination. Love it. I produce Rebecca Green, Winey Palooza, Grow Your Business and Grow Your Wealth with Gary Health. He's amazing. And so love, love, love podcasts, and working on another one. So love it. Yes, you should. And then when you have your own podcast, you can actually put your RSS feed on your LinkedIn, which is amazing.
Totally.
And, one second. Thank you for adding me to yours. That's brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. I didn't think we would be doing, I normally don't do this, but I've been enjoying going through a blog. A blog is worth a million views. All right. So everyone, micromanagement, the culture killer. So we've got blogs here. Are you writing them all?
Yes.
This artwork is crazy good. Oh, look at Jen. And you're keeping it up?
Yep. It's once a month, comes out.
Is this a WordPress site?
Yes, I believe so.
It looks really good. This is great. You guys, you have to definitely check out the blog. How many articles do you think you have?
Oh, probably about 20, 25, somewhere in there. There's quite a few.
Good for you. That is, you know, you could take your blogs, take this page, throw it into like an AI program, and ask it to give you the number of words.
Yes.
Which is kind of cool to do. Keep writing. That's great. They look great. Everyone check that out. And then what is resources? I love that you're okay. Oh, you have a nice magnet piece to the leadership influence quiz.
Yep.
Take it. Can I take it now, or do I give
back? Oh, you'll just have to enter your email, I believe, at some point.
Oh, do you mind if I do it?
No, go for it.
Let's have a little fun. Okay. Nice. Nice looking clean. Okay, when it comes to setting a direction for your team, I clearly share an inspiring vision and make sure everyone knows they contribute to it. I occasionally talk. No, I'm actually number one. No, I think vision is, but some people don't like that, right? So what if you have someone that thinks that's a worse kind of leadership? You should let us give you the vision. Like, it, right? Like, it's so crazy. All right, let's see what I come up though. How often do you think beyond the day-to-day? I regularly carve out time. 100% carving out time. If you don't do that, and sales too, if you need to sell yourself, right?
Yeah.
I have to carve out time to sell myself, my services. How often do you encourage fresh thinking? I love that. This is something, okay. How would you describe the way you communicate with your team? I'm going to say I try to communicate well. I believe in clear communications, but I'm not sure. Sometimes things can get lost in translation. I love delegation. It's actually, someone that I work with said, you know, is there a book out there on delegation? And I said, I thought to myself, and I'd love to hear your response, but I thought it's really, you could read how to delegate, but it has to come from the heart first, the reasons why. So I wrote an article on why delegating is good for yourself and the other person that you're lifting up.
Right? Totally. It's something you have to practice. You can't just expect it to happen.
It's so true. So do you think you could read a book like How to Delegate, or is there books out there that say give one page at a time? Like, I don't know.
No. I think delegating is trusting your team to do the job the way that they can do it and come out with the same outcome that you expected to come out, or it can be a different outcome too, but allowing them to do it the way they want to and trusting them to do it until they prove otherwise.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to get an A+ on this. Thank you for sharing that, because I know a lot of people just have a hard time with that. How intentional about growing your team's skill? But once you realize that you're helping the other person, why would you not delegate?
Exactly.
Does it make sense? Growing your team skill. I was so growing up in a family business. My parents were like, what is wrong with you? Can you just sell? Don't worry about what Sally Sue is doing. Don't worry about if she, you know, has a title, national sales manager. You don't, you know, it's okay to have the title and not have the learning, you know, the education. I'm like, no, what if she leaves us? We want to make sure that she can continue in that like national sales and not be like, well, I have the title, but not, And years ago, that's what a lot of people did in business, right? They would give you a title, but they weren't really teaching you because leadership is kind of a new way of thinking. Am I correct in that too?
Yeah. And I think they're still not teaching. And that's where I want to step in and help middle management. Like, there's a ton of executive coaches, and that's great. Love it. I don't want to be totally in the executive coach. I want to help the middle management because they're the ones that are the next generation of executives. So why can't we help them now to be phenomenal leaders? And in our careers, how many great leaders have you had in your career? For me, I've had two.
Oh, what were they?
One was a founder and owner of a consulting firm that I worked with. And the other was a director or a CIO, in which is the chief information officer in a cement company.
I love it. I love it. And so you feel like, so maybe it's easier when you, thank you. I took the test every once. I was like enjoying that. Though I'm sure I'm like an A minus, or I don't know how it's graded, but I will put that in the chat.
You're probably an A. You're fine. You're probably one of those great leaders.
I'm just old enough to understand what I think, I grew for 35 years. I only worked for my parents and Muscular Dystrophy Association, MDA, for over 12 years. So I did get to see, oh my God, I remember MDA. There was a leader. I was pregnant, and she had been pregnant, and she would sit at her desk, and she would make her secretary, who was outside the office, come into her office to pull a folder. Like, it was weird, this like way, weirdly enough, I had to go to the top because now I'm pregnant, and she was pregnant. She went through the baby, coming in late, doing all this stuff. But for me, and I was really working hard, and I was doing a million in nonprofit donations and raising funds and events and stuff like that. I mean, I was working like, and finally I was like, this is no way to treat someone. And even then though, in my early, late, like mid to late 20s, I didn't understand. There wasn't anything out there that talked about coaching or leadership. I just knew that you should model the right behavior. Yes. And she was modeling horrific behavior. People were leaving. It was hard to keep staff. And finally, I took over as district director. She was I think she was one above me, but when she left, it was like a godsend because she was really horrible. But that's the problem too, is how do you, okay. So you're in a line of business. You don't have a great leader at all. They're making it toxic. You want to leave, but you need the job. It's close to your home. You already invested in the pension and everything else they have. But this leader is so awful. Who do you go to? Can you go above them? You know that you can't sit down and say, you know, Jennifer, you're not really helping me, and blah blah blah. What advice do you have for the middle?
It depends on the leader and how you approach it, but sometimes you can go around. I've had to go around when I had an individual that was making my life miserable. And I did creative things in getting things pushed along because they were a roadblock for a lot of projects I was working on. And so I went and actually went to my project sponsors and said, I need you to have a meeting and I need you to yell at us for being slow. And they're like, are you kidding me, Jen? And I'm like, no, I need you to do that because I can't get anything to move. And so they're like, but you're trying your best. And I said, I'm trying my best, but I need you to yell at both of us so she doesn't know that she's actually like, it's combined. And so they're like, no problem. And they made it happen. And I even went to her boss and said, this is what I'm doing, but please don't share that because she will make my life miserable. And he's like, I'm sorry you have to do that, but I understand.
Wow. And so the outcome?
She eventually got let go but they did yell at us and it helped kind of move her along so that we could get the project done for the team. And I said, because this project should only take 3 months to do and it's taking us six. So let's make this happen.
You know, I remember years ago, my girlfriend was working for a family business, and one of the girls that was, you know, working with her, that was above her, very pretty, absolutely beautiful, could flirt like nobody could flirt. Her work was so bad, but nobody could say anything because they were so infatuated with her.
Yeah.
That was a problem.
That happens regularly.
It does?
Yes. It's horrendous. And it's awful to see.
The eyes.
Yes. Unbuttoning of the shirt a bit.
Well, I don't have to worry about that. But no, but seriously, that is, and you're really stuck. That is so unfair. Because if you want to, yeah, I mean, there's so many good employees out there. Talk to us about, like, I get the, and I don't like to use the word, but it is kind of where it was the cancer in the company. Oh, Shelly, yeah, she's like a cancer. She makes everyone miserable, or those kind of things. How do you handle that?
That one is a tough one because of the fact it depends on how ingrained they are in the company. Because I've witnessed this and am witnessing it right now with one client where they went and hired the cancer, and he's really good at managing up, but not managing down. And he tries to blame everything on everybody else and not take responsibility for it. And unfortunately, the company went and didn't even ask about his reputation to people that have worked under him to understand truly what he was like. And so that is a huge problem for organizations if you're just looking at them, and it's because of who he knew in the VPs. And so that cancer is so hard to get rid of unless you are very aware of what's going on. And you as an individual, if you're not in the VP level and can't stop that or let that individual go, then you have to decide how you're going to survive that. And if you're going to survive that, is that the environment that you want to work under? Or would you rather go, okay, this isn't worth it. I'm going to lose everything. My integrity, who I am as an individual. And even for myself, with that one individual who was micromanaging me and creating psychological unsafety for me, I had to decide, and I stuck it out for 2 years before she was finally let go. But at that, and the after effects, sometimes it's not worth it to stay. And people were convincing me to stay, oh, Jen, this will be good, this will be good. But is it worth my mental health and the PTSD that comes from that, and having to work on going back into the conference room and not shrinking every time a leader came into the room in fear of being tortured or tormented?
You know what's sad about that, Jennifer Jensen, is that you don't have anyone to speak to about it. Like you talk to your friends, but at one point they're like, damn, don't go out with Adrienne. All she does is talk about her work and how unhappy she is, right? And people only see. So like, you're almost like stuck. That's why it's amazing to have a coach. So it's, to me, it's really worth it to find a good coach that can help you. Talking to your friends, it's just not the answer for you. And you're just, you know, and most people nowadays are like, you know, misery loves company, and I'm not going to be your company. I want to stay with, you know, I'm, you know, positive, and I don't want to hear it. Tell me once, don't repeat it. So I may be wrong on that, but I think sometimes that like a coach becomes almost like a therapist because you're listening and helping them and finding the ways. Yeah.
And you want somebody who's going to give you practical advice and not give you the whole dream world of what potentially could happen. Instead, you want reality.
Yeah. Or what they've gone through and how horrible that is. I totally agree with you. I love that. So Jennifer, how are you keeping, like, how, you know, like, so, cause I know in every business, even mine, I answer the question, I'm always thinking of the future, which by the way, LinkedIn offers a lot of that future, you know, however you use it, but I'm always sending out emails to let them know I'm interested in speaking at the event. I'm making sure that I'm available to do LinkedIn workshops because that's kind of my jam and some of the things. And just like each of the areas of my expertise, I don't spend a day without doing something that would grow my business, which to me is important. So what do you do to grow your business?
So I'm doing a lot of these guest appearances on podcasts to help out and to grow globally, because the Canadian economy isn't that great. So I want to go global. I'm working with a podcast agency to help with that. I've got a marketing company that I'm started working with to help grow the business as well. And they're pushing me on my LinkedIn. And I am on at least 3 days a week, have some posting on LinkedIn, trying to increase that as well. And just being present. And I'm doing a lot of coffee meetings or virtual meetings, just getting out into the community as well.
Yeah, you really have to. It's good. Yeah. That's good. It always makes me giggle when someone says, I got so much business. I don't need business. I have business till 2030. And I'm like, okay, why are you even telling me this? Because I was going to give you a client. Some people don't really understand. I always tell people, don't say you're busy, because it's like the worst thing you could do for your business. But I love that you look like you have everything together. So you are really, like, it looks like you're sophisticated. You've got your websites. You've got your speaker sheets. I love that you're doing podcasts. And I'm so glad that you came on and were brave enough to say, you know what, this is interesting, and no prep. And what made you pick me? What made you pick the Adrienne Barker Speaks No Prep Needed?
I love that it was no prep. And I thought, I'm going to connect with this lady after listening to some of your podcasts as well, because I was like, this is going to be a fun podcast. And going live, hey, it's just like talking to anybody else on the street. And I'm constantly talking to everybody and selling. Yesterday, I was at the post office and I was selling to the gentleman there.
That's a great idea though, right? Yes. Yeah. Every company, you're right. You're right. That could kill a business too. Like the first, like if you walk into a post office, I hear this, you know, that person is miserable. I heard that this morning, how you greet, how you teach, you know, leaders that I guess it would be an interesting book on all the leaders, like what leadership, like when I think of leaders, first of all, I do think of a really nice smile. I don't know why, yeah. But you have a beautiful smile. Smile makes a difference to me. But those that one day every week would be out front greeting people, the one that, like, you know, shows up and helps other people and is willing to do the work on, you know, when they're not there, but even when they're there, to stand next to them and be there. Just, I love that. What kind of leader is that? What is that called?
I think that's a leader who's very engaged and empathetic to everyone around them, and realizing that, you know what, you get more with honey than you do with vinegar. Because even I have different golf courses I golf at, and one of them is actually looking at hiring me, because they're like, this would be great, Jen, if you did this for us.
Hire Jennifer Jensen, Mr. Golf Course or Mrs. Golf Course. It's important. You have a nice way about you. You're so pretty in your face. I just love it. I could handle 8, 10, 12 hours of you teaching me, because I think that, you know, you're spirited. You're kind of just like that perfect leadership coach, which I absolutely love. So that's the smile. It would make me sign up. But yeah, so when you think about it, have you ever thought of going into the school systems? I don't know what Canada's like, to maybe teach some leadership programs.
Yes, I'm looking at some universities as well to see what they have, and working with them, and even mentoring the young leaders that are coming out of university to support them as well.
I love that. Imagine a world with really amazing leaders that also care about their community. So they take in corporate social responsibility too, and making sure that they are giving forward as a leader. I think that's important.
Well, also, if you have great leaders, your profitability goes significantly up. Like, why wouldn't you want to invest in your leaders? Middle management to executive, like, invest.
Very true. I also noticed some leaders that will not actually do the work. So when they're trying to show what that work is that needs to be done, if they haven't done it themselves, it's very noticeable. Can you just share, before we end this podcast, is why it's important to understand the roles of those that you're leading, and, you know, so what that looks like?
I think a big thing is understanding those roles, is because it humbles you and it helps you to show humility and your human side, and that you're at least trying to be interested and invested in what each individual has to offer. And then you might actually find out that these individuals might not be in the right role, but they would be perfect in these other roles that would help and grow them. So if you're getting to understand, then you are more informed and you can support them even at higher levels.
Get the book, you guys. Jennifer, that was an amazing answer. I'm putting you on the spot, but then I'm like, no, Jennifer, no, that's such great advice. You are really, really good. I can't wait to, so this is live and then I'll turn it into a podcast and I'll make the show notes, but you dropped some really great quotes and really great information. Do you work with clients out of the USA?
Yes.
Work globally with Jennifer. I love the accent. You get a little bit of that fun accent, which is really cool. And maybe you get invited up to the area where Jennifer is. And you can
totally. And I bring treats. I always bring treats with me.
It's not a meeting unless there's candy or chocolate.
No. Exactly. And I try and do different things so people are always on their toes.
See, I love that. Jennifer, I really, really enjoyed meeting you. Like I'm not just saying that. I really enjoyed meeting you. There's something that is so lovely about you that I definitely, definitely will be shining a big light on you. I really appreciate it. Oh, it'd be fun to get you in. What time is it where you are?
It's 22:11.
Okay. So you are you above, I know the stupid question.
Montana.
Are you above Montana?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You have a little bit of, like almost like what I call like a Fargo, what is Fargo? And I may be getting it wrong, but just maybe a little bit of the Montana accent, that Midwest accent, I guess.
Probably.
Yeah. I really like it. Breakfast with Champions is on a Clubhouse app. I don't know if you've ever heard of Clubhouse.
No.
Oh, it's really cool. And I'm on Chatter Social too. It is a visual audio app. So it's where you have real conversations with real people. Chatter Social, you actually can see the people. So kind of similar to this, but people are on a stage on your phone or on your iPad, and then they could speak. So you could run a room, monetize it, all of that. But I am such a fan, but you would be a great guest. And Breakfast with Champions is every morning. It starts at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and lasts till about 9:30. But it's a great room for you to go in and introduce yourself and share what you do. And again, it is a global room, but there are amazing people on both apps that are incredible. Like we're talking very high level professionals that are always interested in leadership and learning. And so they find this is a great way. Instead of just posting something, it goes out there. You're literally having real conversations.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I do the true crimes Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're doing Jeffrey Epstein tonight. So I host it with Joseph, who's got one of the nicest voices I've ever heard. He's just so smooth. And I get to do this like there's a debate the news with Jonathan Bing is so much fun because it's political. And we have a lot of people from Canada that come in. I don't speak. I only deliver the like a little fun news clip about 2 to 3 minutes every night. But it is really fun if you like debates and like listening to people and learning both sides. Really, really interesting. So let me know if you're interested. I'll send you links.
Oh, totally.
And please do. All right, I will. And thank you. Thank you. So I look forward to talking to you again. Was there anything that I didn't ask you that you would like to share?
No. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It was an honor and a privilege.
Oh, it's good. Are you kidding? No, it's my honor and privilege. Can we get your Amazon link up? But I will find it anyways. When I go to this will have your correct one in there. And I love that. How was your experience writing the book?
It was very therapeutic because I was dealing with a traumatic situation at the same time. So this was my outlet. So it was fantastic. It's the editing. That was the hardest part.
I can imagine, especially with bullets. I think that would just cause an issue, like making sure that they're all lined up correctly.
Yeah, and your thought process.
Oh, I don't know if I could do that. That is interesting.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I had a man earlier this week, or where are we? Today's Tuesday, yesterday. Yep. And he is an expert coach on focus. I thought that was really cool. So see, one day I have to put all the guests together in a room so everyone can meet each other because everyone is just top tier. All right. So thank you so much. Smart that you're on matchmaker.fm too, because I'm pretty sure we met that way. That's a great program, right?
Oh, that's probably through my podcast agency.
Yeah, they did a nice job. They put you in there, so tell them good job. And
I will.
Have a great rest of the day. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you.
I'll connect with you on LinkedIn too. I'm going to end the stream. And thank you. That was amazing.